Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
On Monday, our Soundbites winner Catherine and Petoni told us she just picked an avocado-sized feijoa. 186 grams, if that means anything to you. That's still less than a block of butter, isn't it? But not much. That kicked off a bit of a rivalry on the text. Emma got in touch. She says she has 19 feijoa trees and reckons the biggest fruit she's ever picked was, or found on the ground probably, was 293 grams. Don't know if anyone listening can beat that. Does anyone else bother weighing their feijoas? I used to weigh my rats that I caught for a while. That was a weird time. Anyway, I happened to mention to Catherine that a listener got in touch asking why we don't get canned feijoas. Well, Cara replied, she says canning would ruin the feijoas. The skin when washed is very tasty. I feel like those are two unrelated facts, but Cody in Westport suggested bottling them instead. We thought we'd better call in a feijoa expert, and Kate Evans, who is in the middle of a feijoa diplomacy tour of Australia, joins me now. Hi, Kate.
Kia ora.
Nice to have you on the show again, friend. Welcome. I better ask about this. Better ask about this tour first of all. What are you up to?
I've just come over to Australia to kind of share the book over here. I used to live in Sydney and in Canberra, so I have lots of friends and family here. And, yeah, I just had this idea that it would be fun to do an event at the New Zealand High Commission and kind of try to convince Australians of the joys of the feijoa, because they actually grow incredibly well in Canberra. They're all over the city. And I remember when I was at university in Sydney, yeah. I had a friend from Canberra, and she was like, oh, must have been raving about feijoas, you know, as you do. And she was like, oh, I know feijoas. And we've got a tree at home, and they just fall to the ground, but we didn't know they were edible. We just used to squish them because we thought they smelled nice. And I was horrified. And after that, her mum used to send me up bags of like care packages of feijoas from their tree. And so I've been in touch for a while. Like, one of the things about being the mad feijoa lady is that you feijoa people from around the world kind of get in touch with me. And a guy in California put me in touch with a guy in Canberra who grows feijoas and has been involved in planting them in the Arboretum here and in different parts of the city. So he came along to the New Zealand High Commission yesterday, and he had three different special Canberra varieties that he cut up for tasting. And so we did like a tasting of like these new varieties, which were, yeah, they were good. They were quite different to ours. The skins were quite thin and quite edible.
Really?
Interesting. And then, yeah, the New Zealand High Commissioner spoke about his own feijoa experiences on the Kapiti Coast. And I did a Q&A with my radio friend from the ABC here.
Any good cues?
They were kind of interested in unpacking why it never took off in Australia.
Yeah. They do go. My mother-in-law is in Queensland. She's on the Gold Coast, and she's got a tree. It goes pretty well.
Yeah, the main problem over here is the Queensland fruit fly, which, God forbid, it ever arrives in New Zealand, really. Yeah. Like, it seems much worse than guava moth and really destroys them. And for much of Australia, you really have to put netting over them to keep the fruit fly out, which is obviously a hassle, so people don't do it, and a lot of the fruit gets destroyed. So the guy was saying, even down here in Canberra, until the middle of April when it gets cold enough, there's a lot of damage from fruit fly, which might be part of the reason.
Which brings me to the main topic of the conversation here, which is why we don't put them in jars here in New Zealand and export them around the world, or at least keep them for the summer months. Have you thought about this before?
Yes. Where would we export them to, though? Require people to know what a feijoa is and therefore buy it. I'm afraid I do not know why we don't put them in cans anyway. My brother-in-law puts them in jars and saves them for the summer months. Like, he puts them in a sugar syrup.
Yeah.
And that seems to work pretty well. I do feel that when you cook, in order to do that, you sort of have to cook feijoas. And I think when you cook feijoas, they lose quite a lot of that like special feijoa flavor. Like, they become a bit more of a generic fruit when you cook them. I wonder if it's
you don't.
Part
you
of
wouldn't
it.
Have to cook yeah. them, would you? I mean, you. I've got pickled jalapenos at home.
Preserve it.
No, I got pickled jalapenos
you could
at
pickle
home.
Pickle them, maybe.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay.
I did so once speak to a woman in Auckland who made. She is from North India, and she made a Fijo lime pickle that was absolutely delicious.
Yeah. Yeah, so, no shortage of chutneys and pickles. But, yeah, the idea that you
yeah,
can just
cans,
open a can in summer and put them on your porridge, it seems crazy that
it's a good
not
idea.
Happening. Someone online suggested
someone
that maybe they
it.
Weren't acidic enough, but
but
we can tomatoes,
right?
When I was in right?
Colombia, someone gifted me a little jar of, like, whole preserved feijoas, which I have, like, kept for special and haven't opened it yet.
Really?
So I don't know what they taste like. I should do that. I will open it and taste them.
I interviewed a few years ago, yeah. Kate, and I must admit I thought perhaps this was just a phase for you, but clearly not. Your passion for feijoas continues.
Juicy. Once I start something, I just have to finish it, really. Yeah.
Where are we at in terms of feijoa popularity, fame, fashion? Is it flat, or are some years spikier than others, or is it on the up or on the down? What do you think?
Do you mean New Zealand particularly?
Yeah, New Zealand, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think what one of the things that's sort of special about feijoas is the seasonal, is their seasonal nature, and I think that's like part of why they're special to us. And maybe if we canned them and they were available all year round, they might lose a bit of that, although I suppose you get feijoa yogurt and whatnot. But yeah, there's something about the fact that you kind of forget about them for most of the
yeah.
year, and then March comes along and you're like, oh yeah, feijoas, and then you know, and then they increase, and then there's this sort of cycle that you go through every year where you're really excited at first, and then you get overwhelmed, and then you get totally sick of them, and you're, you know, trying to find all these different things that you can do with them.
You
so
have,
I think it's more annually cyclical than a kind of an ongoing
yeah,
trend,
okay.
maybe.
And you have some thoughts on what to do with them, what we should be doing with them.
Yeah, I was going to say, instead of canning, a lot of people have been dehydrating them, which basically turns them into lollies, as one woman told me. If you cut them quite thin, you can even use a solar dehydrator, cut them into little slices, and then you can just keep the you can get those in jars for a long time, and they're just little snacks.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've just written an article for the New Zealand listener about kind of useful and productive things that you can do with a feijoa glush instead of letting them rot into the ground. And I've been speaking. I went to visit Fair Food in Auckland, which is a food rescue organisation, and they will. Really want your feijoas. They have been collecting excess feijoas from farms and just from people, and they're able to, through their networks, like distribute them out to food banks and to community organisations and to people who are actually experiencing hunger and do need fresh food. And they say that they, you know, they could take so many more feijoas than what they currently get. And there are actually these food rescue organisations all around New Zealand. If you go on the Aotearoa Food Rescue Alliance website, it tells you where there would be one near you. So if you feel like gathering them up and taking them into one of these places, they can actually get them to people who do actually need some food.
Good stuff.
And
good
then
stuff.
The other option I was exploring was there's an app called Magic Beans, which started in the Hawke's Bay, but is now kind of nationwide. And that's a not financial at all. It's just swapping based. And if you sign up to the app, you've just swap your produce with people in your neighborhood. So if you've got heaps of beans, you can swap them for feijoas or for apples and what people do is then they like, I'm going to talk to this guy who takes in the feijoas and then he turns them into feijoa chutney and then he swaps the jars of chutney for something else and then it kind of becomes this whole cycle.
Love it. Alex
nice way
is
to meet
listening.
Your neighbors.
Yeah, Alex is listening. He reckons you can buy, or he or she reckons you can buy whole frozen peeled feijoas. Buy them.
I didn't know that.
Eh? And someone else says with their excess, they've just made their fourth batch of dried feijoa leather using feijoa inside stewed in water and reduced down, a bit of brown sugar, and then dried in the dehydrator on high. Cindy in Napier says they're superb.
That sounds great. Good for lunchboxes.
Yep. Also, someone says you can buy canned guavas from South Africa, and they're delicious, and they seem quite similar to feijoas. Maybe it's an opportunity,
yeah.
Kate, and I don't want to typecast you, although it's probably too late for that. But once
No, I'm a writer, not a farmer.
Okay, fair enough. Not a, not a steward.
Someone should do it, but probably not me.
Okay. Hey, nice to talk to you. I'm sure you work on other writing as well as the Fijoa. I apologise that it's always the Fijoas we call you about, but thanks for your hard work.
It's fine.
Okay.
We can talk about the ocean sometime.
Kate Evans' book, Yes Please, is called Fijoa, and she's on a diplomacy tour of Australia at the moment.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.